guys this evening is Wake the Bear. I hope you enjoy the show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers. All right, another good night.
It's going to be an amazing night.
Yes, lots of good stuff to talk about. Lots of good stuff, a lot of hard stuff as well. We're still in that month, that human trafficking, child trafficking awareness month,
yep.
Which President Donald J. Trump had initiated.
He did.
Now, I heard something. What was it? I think you were talking about it earlier, Chris, that they were giving credit to Barack Obama or something like that.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I went to look up on the government website about President Trump's announcing and commemorating January as Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And it didn't mention his name. It actually gave the credit to Barack Obama. And then I pulled up. I thought, did I get this totally wrong? And I went to the news article that was back in 2019. And no, I didn't get it wrong.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. It's so crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We're living in crazy times.
We really are.
But, you know, before we get into tonight's topic.
Yeah, because this is a dark topic.
It's basically the war on the child.
You know, remember, our show is called Wake the Bear, and we really believe that God is waking up the bear of California. We really believe that that's what this show is dedicated to, is waking people up to see what's been going on hidden in the darkness. We're exposing the darkness. And when you do that, it gets kind of dark, right?
Yeah.
So we also have to do this with an atmosphere of hope. And so that's the thing we want to do tonight, is we want to wake you up to the craziness that's going on, but we want to do it with an atmosphere of hope because we know our God wins.
That's right. He does. And there's plenty to be hopeful for and excited about. I've been listening to a lot of, you know, alternative news podcasts all week, and there's a theme coming, and it's been being put out on the airwaves and stuff. And it's basically that the Biden administration is literally falling apart. They can't do anything right now. And so that gives me a lot of hope. And it's not that I rejoice in the failure of others, but when somebody steals an election, shouldn't even be in there in the first place. Yeah, get rid of, you know, that's like the fox guarding the hen house or something, you know. So let me go over.
People are waking up. I mean, that's what you're saying.
We are seeing a difference.
We're seeing a shift. And this last weekend was a big shift with two major things in D.C., which we'll talk about too, right?
Yeah, we will pretty soon, probably in a couple minutes.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, one of the things they've noticed is a trend in where people are getting their news from. You know, you look at a poll, and it shows, like, Joe Rogan is the top right now. He's, like, on average, 11 million viewers. And then when you go to Carl Tuckerson, it's, like, you know, a little over three. The Five's a little about three. Hannity's about three. You know, these are 3 million and stuff. And then you get down to, like, CNN, it's, like, 0.82. So it's less than a million viewers.
Wow.
What that tells me is that people are
they're
not trusting the
main. They're probably all bots.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're all bots.
Yeah, at least for the CNN. Yes. But what that tells me is that people are looking for information and it's not from the mainstream. Because Joe Rogan is not a mainstream. I mean, he's not like mainstream media, right? He's asking questions that's getting him kicked off of YouTube and things like that. You know, with Dr. McCullough and Robert Malone. Another one was CNN. It says this is a New York Post saying scandal-ridden CNN's rating dive by 90% after 2021 coverage. So they are just going down the toilet. A Gallup poll shows a 14% change from between Republicans and Democrats. So a year ago, it was 49% were claiming to be Democrats and only 40% Republicans. Now it's 47% Republicans and 42% Democrats. So there's a switch. Now there's more Republicans, people claiming. People are walking the streets of D.C. and they're seeing these posters everywhere, and they look like communist propaganda posters. You know, like Joe Biden saying, comply, and he's, you know, he's got that yelling face with the big hammer and stuff. You know, it's just, but, you know, it even in downtown D.C., Another one is 19 states this year have passed voter integrity bills. 34 voter integrity. So that wouldn't have happened unless we had such a bad thing. If we can get those bills changed, that's going to change a lot of things in the future, like repeatedly.
Oh, and that's huge because we need to have free and fair elections, and we're not, I mean, we're kind of waking up that our elections have been stolen for a while.
Absolutely.
There's forces at the top that have been manipulating who really gets into office. And as we're saying this, I really believe in red-pilling people. But the reality is that I don't, like, the Democrats and the Republicans and our Congress are corrupt all the way up to the top. And it's very, you know, so I'm not, like, saying there's one party answer. The two-party system is broken.
Yeah.
But people are saying we're identifying as conservative, so we're going to have to move to being Republicans.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly think we're going to see more of a purple something. I don't know, a purple party. There's got to be
independent party,
number three.
Libertarian party.
As it's difficult to embrace so many of the Rhino their narratives and their values even. So yeah. I'm looking forward to a new color in the political scheme.
Well, let me cut this list short and go with just one more because I've got a very special person on the phone want to have talk to us. And so another one was that, you know, a lot of people have focused in on the bad things like, hey, you know, the successful theft of a 2020 election, you know, and they dwell on that. And, you know, all the things that Joe Biden was doing with executive orders and stuff. But if you really look and you got to question who's really in power, is he really in power? You've got the Senate, right, that is a majority Democrat right now,
right.
The House of Republicans, and the presidency. But yet, they can't pass restrictive gun control legislation. You remember that? They were going to just take our guns away, they were saying. Build Back Better plan has fallen apart. Mm-hmm. The Green New Deal, you haven't seen that pass, right? They haven't packed the Supreme Court. They haven't done that. They've had a failure to stop the election audits. So those audits are going on. They failed to do that. Let's see a couple others. Let's see. They failed to impeach Trump twice. Right. I mean, if you have the majority, you know, you would think they would have more of that. Failure to implement the vaccine passports, failure to implement the vaccine mandates. Let's see another one. Failure to keep Chinese products flowing into this country. You know, we've had a backlog of chain. That hurts China, you know, as well. Another one would be Guantanamo Bay. They wanted to close that. They said, hey, we're down to like 39 prisoners. It's outdated. We want to close it. What are they doing? They're building a new courthouse. I think like $5 million or $15 million are being... Yeah, well, that's where, you know, that's where court martials and that's where military tribunals are.
Monkey Works says that in the last 10 years, it's grown from the aerial view like 10 times.
It's Guantanamo getting bigger.
Bay. Well, speaking of Guantanamo Bay, they're getting, it sounds like this big fail is giving them enough rope to hang themselves.
Exactly. You know, you got to do the deed before you get caught. So anyway, there's a bunch more other things, but you get the idea that there's a lot to be hopeful for. So I have my very own daughter, Annalise Powers, and she's actually in D.C., and she went to a couple of these rallies.
Come on.
So I'm going to get her
two major rallies this
defeat
weekend.
Defeat the mandates in D.C.
That's right.
March for Life on Saturday and defeat the mandates on Sunday. That was a powerful weekend.
So Annalise, are you there? Can you hear us?
I'm here. Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Welcome.
Well, good. I was so excited to see. You know, you sent us your mother and I a picture of you out on the mall with holding a sign and all that stuff. So tell us about your experiences. And stuff.
What was the energy like that day and or the both days?
Yeah, I think definitely different crowds. So it was definitely a different experience each day, but both really great, both really positive. I went to March for Life. And it's really cool just because, I mean, the crowds are huge, and so it's just hard to not be just really hopeful and uplifted. And, I think it was cool. It was so cold. And so to see everyone there, it's like everyone either got bussed in or they took off work. Everyone was willing to stand in the cold. And so I showed up, and I came kind of towards the end of the rally. The rally started at like 12:30, went till 1, and then the march is supposed to start right around 1. And when I got there on the mall, I thought, okay, yeah, there's a lot of people, but I'd seen pictures before, so I expected a lot of people. And I thought, this is a great turnout. This is great. It wasn't exactly what I was expecting. I was expecting more. But then the march started, and I realized, wow, there are actually way more people here than I realized at first. And so that was a really, really cool experience, because you can just walk down Constitution, and you can just see all the way ahead of you, all the way going up the hill towards Supreme Court. There's just, like, the street is just packed with people. And I even stopped for a little bit to put on some extra socks, because I had two pairs of socks on. It still wasn't enough. I was freezing. I was all bundled up, but just being California girl, I just learning the ways of the cold. And I stopped for a while, and I knew there were people behind us, but even after I stopped for a while, I could look behind me and still see that there were tons of people all the way down Constitution behind us.
Wow.
And that whole time there had been people all the way at the top, just totally like flowing through. So it was really, really amazing. It was even like more than I had seen in pictures before. I knew that people showed up, and the media just doesn't really always pay attention to it. But to be there in person and realize it was like really even more than I had seen in pictures before, it was so cool, really exciting, fun to feel that unity. And yeah, and I, this year they did have more like video footage of the actual march and seeing, you know, how big that group was. I think Students for Life posted that one on Instagram, and you can see, like, because it's hard to capture in a picture. Like, the video's, like, necessary to see how many people there really were. So it was great.
That's great. Quick question for you. So you went there. I mean, you're in D.C., right? You're in D.C. already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you went there, and you went to March for Life. What does it mean to march for life for you?
To me, I think that it just means to speak up about pro-life issues and the pro-life issue, like the pro-life cause. I think that I just realize more and more that it's something that I've never been shy about being pro-life. I've always been felt very comfortable and that it's important to share about being pro-life. But I hadn't really realized until especially recently just how much that value and how much that priority has kind of fall into the wayside. Mm-hmm. And just how much the narrative has changed to the point where even at, you know, sometimes Christian universities, people will be surprised that I'm pro-life, even though they know I'm like a vocal Christian.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to the point where I was like, I thought you would have assumed that I would be for life. Like,
right.
It was just this surprise. And I thought, oh my goodness, like, I have to be, you know,
vocal.
Much more outspoken.
You have to speak. You have to tell people, because.
And so I think I'm much more intentional about it now, because I just didn't realize that, that was such a surprise to people.
Good.
The next what about the next?
Defeat the mandates. What was that like for you, Elise?
Yeah. The defeat the mandates I went to on Sunday, and that was also really exciting to be at. I didn't see the whole thing because I had church in the morning, so I went after church and saw what I could. And so I missed kind of the beginning part where they started at the Washington Memorial and walked towards the Lincoln. But I did get to the Lincoln and get to hear some of the speakers. I heard Dr. Malone talk, and it was really, really great. It was definitely a more diverse crowd, and there was something really exciting about that, as it seemed like it was racially diverse, but also like totally ideologically diverse. So it was really kind of cool to see people come together on that issue. And so maybe a group that, you know, could have been seen as clashing was there together. And that in and of itself was just kind of cool to observe and be a part of. It was a really great experience. And it was great to see people with their signs. Everyone was, you know, very vocal. And it was great to be there.
So basically what they were doing was protesting against the vaccine mandates and the vaccine passports. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. And it was interesting to see people's signs, because you could tell that there were people from totally different angles on it. There were people that were very skeptical about the vaccine, and then there were people that just really didn't like the mandate part of it.
Right.
There was definitely some common ground. And so you could see kind of a diversity in the signs. But it was interesting.
Yeah, great. One of the quotes that I heard, I was listening to some of the recordings, was health agencies must cease interfering with the physician-patient relationship.
Yep.
Policymakers are directly responsible. Let me say that again. Policymakers, all of you policymakers out there, are directly responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths as a result of the institutional interference and blocking treatments proven to cure at a near 100% rate.
Wow.
This is not medicine. This is not care. These policies may constitute crimes against humanity.
That's right.
So that came right from one of the speeches given on the Defeat the Mandate right there in front of the Lincoln Memorial on Sunday.
Well, Annalise, it was so good to have you on there. It's always, as a father, I love to hear your voice. So thanks for calling in. And I know it's a bit late out there, 3 hours later. So have a good evening, and God bless you, sweetie.
Thank you, Annalise.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Great to talk, and thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Well, it sounds like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Oh, my goodness.
Sharp dad, sharp daughter.
You know, it's been in our family, you know, even when I was a child, my mother was always very pro-life, you know, and in 1975, she got involved, you know, we were in the Catholic Church at the time, and they had a group that was talking about abortion, and it had just passed a couple years, and she had this brochure, and I just happened to be going through her papers, and I shouldn't have been there, and I saw this brochure of a bunch of babies stuffed in a garbage can.
Wow.
And I just, as, you know, I was, I don't know, first grade, second grade, saw it, and I was shocked, like, what is that, you know? And she had to explain, and but she's always been active and stuff. And so, Mom, if you're out there, you're welcome to call, because I know she also is very active with a local, well, actually, don't call yet. Call probably
8:35.
8:35, because we want to get into this topic. And so let's just move right into that topic.
So you had some background with your mom, and you know, you have, like, there's a clear biblical witness scripturally for why we believe in pro-life, right? And I just want to say a few couple verses about that. I mean, the scriptures are very clear that, you know, before I was born, you knew me. The scripture says, you knew me while I was in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully woven or made. It's like really like woven together. Think of like the body being woven together. And I think one of the reasons that why this certain bill passed in Texas is the heartbeat bill is because you cannot argue that that is not a living being with a heartbeat. It's got a heartbeat, right?
Yeah.
And it's like at 5 weeks, there's already a heartbeat. And it's just, that's crazy. I mean, yeah. I think it's a living being as soon as there's an X and Y chromosome, you know, as soon as the chromosomes come together, they're not one from each parent. I constantly argue with people, and it's interesting to me, this one phrase, my body, my choice.
Right.
Which has become one of the major championing phrases for Defeat the Mandate.
Yeah.
That actually works because it is your body, your body autonomy. But when you have a child growing inside you, that's a different person.
With a different DNA.
Unless you have two heads.
Yeah.
Right? And four arms and four legs. And so I have to try to constantly remind people that, you know, you don't have two heads, do you? Right? So the biblical witness, both Old Testament and New Testament, push for pro-life. The modern, you know, the Christians of the early church believed again, you know, in the Didache. You were talking about the Didache.
Yeah, I had read that a number of years ago, and there was a couple things that really stood out for me. That it was kind of like a handbook for the early church, you know, how to do baptisms and how to, you know, fasting and some extra I don't know, explaining of things. And one of the things that they did, and this is probably as early as 70 AD, so some of the apostles could have been alive when this was written, but in the chapter 2, it says, you shall not kill a child in abortion, nor kill one that has been born. And so that is a direct understanding of abortion, you know. So a lot of times people might be wrestling with it, especially if you're a believer. You're like, you know, everyone's saying, you know, it's okay, and the culture's really starting to influence me. I don't know. The Bible doesn't really you know,
directly talk about abortion itself.
Exactly. But the early church within the first generation,
first
within
100 years.
I mean, literally the disciples could have still been alive when this was being passed around.
Yes.
That was the understanding and that was the interpretation and that was what was being taught. Do not kill by abortion. Yeah, and they'd had abortion way back, even in the Egyptians. I mean, it was, you know, take this poison and, you know, it'll spontaneously. So it's no, you know, there's no mystery of it happening just the last couple hundred years or something. Yeah.
So the biblical witness and the earliest Christians believed that abortion was wrong, just to let all the Christians out there know.
Very clearly.
Yeah.
Well, and Baal worship is one of the earliest forms of you know, idolatry that the earth has known. And their primary form of saying, I follow this particular god, Baal, is they sacrifice their children. So there is a very dark side of history on our earth that our God came to redeem and to set things right.
And you know why they sacrificed? So they would have better crops, better success in business. You know, it's the same spirit I see today. You know, you hear these Hollywood celebrities saying, oh, because I had this abortion, I've got this Golden Globe and I'm so proud, you know, and it's just like, it's a selfish thought about, you know, it's me first.
Sacrifice the weakest to protect the strongest.
Yeah.
And that's opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just wanted to speak a little bit from my experience because back in 1978, I had some unprotected sex with my boyfriend and I became pregnant. And although I later married the man, at the time I wasn't ready to get married and neither was he. And unknown to my parents or anyone else except for my boyfriend, I quickly made an appointment and I was vanned over to Los Gatos. And I went into a clinic with another group of women and got an abortion. At that time, I was living here in Santa Cruz County. And at the time, I wasn't thinking about human life. I was thinking, oh, no, I'm pregnant, and I don't want to be pregnant. And the social narrative at that time was the baby inside of me was not a baby at all, but a blob. And so I terminated my pregnancy. And over the next few years, my heart pushed back regarding what I'd done. And I knew I had not just terminated my pregnancy, but I had terminated my baby. And so I was later got married to the boy that I was in love with. And I had I have some amazing children. But the very sad reality continued to grow in me that I had made a horrible mistake, and you can't change the past. But I took the situation to God, and He had me go on a healing journey. He comforted me, and I sought His forgiveness, and He led me into a place that I was able to understand the blood of Jesus covers every mistake if you let it. And I let it. So I joined with some other moms in a place very similar to what your mom must work in. It was a pregnancy center, and we went through a course of recovery, and together we walked, and our hearts got healed. We shared our experiences, and one night when I was just at home, the Lord gave me a vision, and it was an open vision, and I saw my little girl. He said, you know, do you want to know what you had? And I said, oh my goodness, it didn't even occur to me I could ask. And he said, you had a little girl, and do you want to know what her name is? And he shared with me her name, and I saw a vision of her in my Father God, in His arms. And he told me that she'd be waiting for me. And it was a very real, incredible experience. And so I knew I'd walk through my healing when I was able to share it, because up to that time, I hadn't been able to share it because I carried a lot of shame. I carried a lot of guilt. But when I was able to release that to Jesus, and He said, I'll take that. That's what I died for. And I released it, and I received a very real understanding that He was carrying that which It wasn't mine to carry anymore. And so I could walk and know that I was forgiven and that I was not and am not my worst decision that I've ever made. And I just want to say that because I know that there are others that have gone through a similar experience. And if you're struggling at all with where you are with your decision making, and this could be beyond something like a decision to have an abortion or not have an abortion. It could be something else where you are just, you're living it and you're living under the guilt or the shame. And I am happy to receive your email. I have an email at chris@wakethebearradio.com. If you want someone to pray with you, I'd be glad to pray with you and just walk you through some steps of recovery and deliverance and to help you know God puts it behind him. He has covered this, and that's why Jesus came.
Powerful. Thank you for sharing that and really opening up. You know, if it can help other people. And you know, the Christian's attitude needs to be the same, is there is forgiveness, and that stigma should disappear. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk very vocally against it, against that action. We think it's wrong, but it's the action that's wrong, and we don't judge people to where they cannot, you know, if they want forgiveness and they turn from that, then by all means, we forgive just like Jesus did.
That's right.
Because, you know, the parable where the, what was it, the king, he forgave much, and the servant, you know, he wouldn't forgive. And
unmerciful
and so,
servant. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I am thankful that God has forgiven me for all of my mistakes. And so the very least I should be doing is forgiving others. And so, you know, there are plenty of churches. I know the church that you two, well, the one that you teach in, that you're the pastor of, that is a church that has open arms for people that have experienced that. You'd never have a judgment over there. I'm not saying that you would have it at the other places. It's a lot less, but I know that yours, you know.
I think most people have a big boogeyman in their head about who God is, and they have no idea how loving God is. I mean, men and women are made in the image and likeness of God, and he loves you because you're made in his image and likeness, and he died for you. I mean, Christ came and died because of God's love for humanity. Mm. And that's part of the reason why God hates abortion, is because the image of God is being killed in abortion, right? Yeah. And who would also be excited about killing the image of God? Satan. Would be interested, you know. And I was going to point out one thing that's very interesting about all this is that, do you know that there are 25 ancient cultures that practice human sacrifice? Many of, you know, like we were talking about before, but there's even study that shows that they believed that the gods would give them something, and the whole movement into like the whole alien theory is that human blood sacrifice would give them power over their enemies, which is very Luciferian, right? Mm-hmm. And what's the country that's taken more lives than any on the planet but the United States? 62 million children have been aborted.
China's 336 million.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so you look at the people that are behind some of this actually, you know, in the ancient cultures believe that the human blood sacrifice gave them power. And how is that in the modern, you know, in the modern world that's not actually probably also happening, especially since the human blood sacrifice in this culture is coupled with baby parts being sold for science.
Yeah.
And so you're getting scientific power over your enemies as well.
Absolutely.
So.
You know, probably let's take a break on the backside. Mom, if you want to call, if you're listening, I don't know if you're listening, but if you are, I'd like to know a little bit about informed choices, and then we'll probably go down the dark path of maybe the eugenics, some of the people behind some of these things. So why don't we start a break?
Take a quick break there.
There's no ocean in Malawi, and we just found this beautiful lake that goes to three different countries, Malawi, Mozambique, Tanzania. This is a big body of water, and so you get 2-3 foot wind waves, and pretty much daily you have waves you can ride. Being a Santa Cruz local, being a surfer from the west side, we just saw this lake and we thought we could use it to bring a different thing into this area that's never been done before. And the locals saw us, and when we saw the interest of the locals going, what are these people doing out in the water where there's crocodiles or hippos? So we just wanted to bring the love of surfing to this area, and we did it, and it really just took off. We got surf contests going once a year, but 365 days a year, we have programs in this area. We have a school that has over 1,000 kids. We're doing ag projects. We're doing solar projects. We're doing water projects. We're doing all these different things in the community, but done locally. We kickstart them in their business, and off they go. So it's a self-sustaining method of doing this. The surf contest is just a big party to celebrate what we've done all year.
If you would like more information on how you can participate or support this effort, please visit our website at his2offer.com. That's his, the number two, offer.com.
All right, we're back. Hey, you know, that advertisement reminds me, you know, H2O, the guy named Patty Brady who started that.
From Santa Cruz.
Long-time old surfer.
Yep.
Surfer guy. I went to Africa three times, and one of the things that we did over there is we worked with a group called Dress a Girl and Dress a Dude. And what that is local people all throughout the United States that know how to sew, they sew these simple dresses. So this Dress a Girl will send out like a pattern. Mm-hmm. And then you just make a dress and you send it to these local churches that collect. I think Twin Lakes does. Yep. I think
SCBC.
Santa Cruz Bible still does. Yep. And they collect it, and we distributed literally thousands of dresses. And the important reason why we did that was if a little girl was seen having a nice, colorful dress rather than a potato sack that's full of dirt, they felt like they must have a mom and a dad, and somebody's watching them. They'll be missed if they're taken.
Right.
But if you are just, like, walking around in, like, sackcloth and just, you know, just rags, they say, oh, no one will ever notice. And those children are the ones that get abducted and trafficked to labor camps, sex camps, and all those things. And so it was helping. So if you're thinking of yourself, I'm a little old lady or old man or whatever, and you're like, what can I do to help fight this? You know, go to wakethebearradio.com on the show notes for tonight, and I'll have some links to Dress a Girl and Dress a Dude. Dress a Dude is for boys. Right. Boys get trafficked as well.
Yep.
Local Trish. Trisha in Santa Cruz, she's an awesome, awesome lady. She felt the need to address the boys. And so she's gone with us on a number of these missions and literally hands out hundreds and thousands of these clothes for little kids. And we'll come back a year later, and they're still wearing the same thing, and it's almost threadbare. It's like the only thing they wore all year.
Oh,
so it's like, it's a need too, just basic need.
Anyway. And you don't have to be old to make those dresses. I know many young women who are learning to sew. They're very talented and crafty. So
that's true.
You make the dresses and you get them to us, and we'll make sure they get to a little girl or a little boy in Africa.
Absolutely. So I have my mom. So it's kind of weird. I got the whole family tonight.
This is bizarre. Great.
So, but she was involved. Is involved. Well, I'll let her explain. So, Mom, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Hey, I'm glad you can come on.
Welcome. Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with Ron Powers, your son.
And Mom has a name, I think.
It's Kathy Powers.
Kathy Powers.
Yes. And Mom, why don't you tell us a little bit about the organization? Because we don't always want to just give gloom. We want to give hope. And what maybe there's people out in the audience that are in that struggle right now. And so you're local. I know you're local. You're Gilroy. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, let me first say I totally enjoy your show. The three of you are wonderful. You just give us so much great information. So keep it up.
Thank you.
Okay. Informed Choices, yes. It's a nonprofit organization. It's a resource medical clinic, a pregnancy resource medical clinic, and everything is free. People come in every day. And everything is confidential. You know, we're not supposed to say anything to anybody. So they feel really safe there. We pray with them. We counsel these ladies. And they could be, you know, teenagers. They could be 30, 40 years old. But they're there because they need help. So we want to extend that hand of love to them and show Jesus, you know, that they're not alone. Mm. So we provide, you know, maternity clothes, infant clothes, diapers, wipes, things like that. But the most important thing is we provide a love and fellowship with them. We have them take their tests, and then we have a beautiful ultrasound machine that's donated to us by a wonderful family here in Gilroy. So what they hear, if they're 6 weeks along, they'll hear the heartbeat. And when they hear that, we see tears come from their eyes. And if their boyfriend's there, or their husband, it's just more exciting. Mm. And sometimes they walk in abortion-minded, but then after they hear that heartbeat, they make a change.
Wow.
And we're always sending prayer out. You know, if we feel like someone is on that road, we'll just stand in the room, not in their room, but in another room, and the nurses and the volunteers will just pray. We'll pray and ask God to just touch their heart. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, they come back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, come back with their babies. You know, 2 or 3 days old, they'll come back and they'll say, "This is the baby we saved," you know.
Oh, awesome.
It's really... Wow. Oh, it's just exciting. And when we also minister to those who are, you know, who had abortions, we call it SOS. It's a they surrender our secret, and it's a Bible study for 6 weeks. So that's extended to them, and we do that once or twice a year. And it's very successful because they need it. They really need it.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Yeah. I was told once, I have friends that work with the Pregnancy Resource Center here in town, and they were taking funds in, and they said, you know, if you give like $15, $20, that helps pay for an ultrasound because of the process. And it's not, you know, not that expensive. You guys have your own, but, and basically $15 to $20 could save someone's life if they actually have the ultrasound and hear the heartbeat. Like literally it shifts it like 9 out of 10 times or almost 10 out of 10, it shifts them from being abortion minded to this is a real baby. This is a real child. This is a real person.
That's right.
Yeah. And what you're describing is, you know, that whole life position, it really is about justice. It's not just a religious doctrine at all. The biological reality that little human heart is beating is it's a scientific fact. It's not something that you reach in and say, oh, you're religious or not religious. All human beings have human rights and deserve protection under the law.
That's right.
All right. Well, Mom, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing what you're doing and just being that good example that I grew up under.
So. Thank you for saving lives. We appreciate you.
You are a hero.
Woohoo.
See you later, Mom.
Well, okay. We love you.
All right. Well, that was two family members one night. That's awesome.
That is amazing.
Why don't we talk a couple more minutes? I do have another caller on, and we'll take him in just a moment if you want to progress forward with some things.
You know, I want to bring to our listeners remembrance that there is something on the legislation being considered right now of making California a sanctuary state for abortion.
Wow.
And, you know, just so that we understand what that means, there are basically right now in the United States, there are 17 states that have restrictions on abortion. So our California governor has, he wants to make California a so-called sanctuary state, which is a kind of an oxymoron there because it certainly would be not a sanctuary for the little one. But he said that they would like to provide the services for women to cross state borders into California so they can secure an abortion. And that Basically, it would be subsidized. The travel would be subsidized. The lodging, the procedure would be subsidized. So if the woman wants to terminate her baby in the womb, he would be asking California taxpayers to pay for that. And so that's coming up. If that's something that you don't agree with as a California voter and a citizen of this state, you might want to let your legislatures know and say no. It's time not just to feel like, oh, we're victims of our governor's decisions. We have a voice at every at every step. We can always, even if it goes through, we could say, you know, this, I don't know how it went through, but we do not like this. So,
what was the bill again?
We do not comply.
I don't have the number of the bill. It's I think it's in the preparatory state still of making California the sanctuary state.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely put something out on show notes.
Yeah, there's a bunch of bills that are equally bad coming down that we can talk about in a few minutes. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, Chris, and this is the thing I think we talked about earlier, Chris, is like, why is it that we're asking kids now, in this whole culture of global war on children, we're asking kids to shield adults versus the adults shielding the weak and the most vulnerable. Like that, I think back like World War II, people going out to war and saying, listen, I'm going to go fight a war to protect the children. Yeah. Instead now we're finding ways to let kids shield the burden of what we're dealing with, like masking them up and making sure they're taking a vaccine that's experimental so that they don't get sick, because they might get the older people sick from a sickness that doesn't kill kids, that kids don't even get. Like, it's statistically impossible for young kids to get this, and we're going to vaccinate them all the way up to age 5. To me, this is a cult. This is a mental shift. This is showing the soul of America, the dark soul of America that needs to be repented for. Yeah. Why are we letting children shield the burden of our protection when our job is to protect them? And I think this is a dad stepping up type of thing. We as dads, we as moms, we need to decide to step up and say, not on my watch. We're going to protect the weakest among us, not we're going to use them to shield us from our fears of a pandemic that doesn't, 99% of the people recover from, right? So ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I mean, something's happened, it's changed. We are no longer breathing the air of liberty because we've taught people to be scared of the air they breathe.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it gets me furious. You got to man up, woman up, or pray up, you know. So, hey, we've got another caller, and he's been on for a bit. His name is Shane. Shane, can you hear us? You're welcome.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Ringing you all the way from Australia, and I'm loving your program.
Hey, wow. Welcome, Shane. From down under, yes.
It must be 2 a.m. and you're wherever you are.
Yeah, and they're not joking about being down under. I tell you, it's pretty hot down here right now. And, the social changes as a behavior, I look at behavior and the consequences of foreign corporatization and grooming of generations post-World War II. And, boy, we've got serious, you'd have to be very ignorant towards, I suppose, history, not to see this as a Christian event in regards to, it's all biblical and the changes now that you can really see people moving away from God and the church and the values that came from that. And we've had an incredible destruction of family since the end of World War II, and that's fitted really nicely for these, I'd say, Satanists who run the corporations.
Yep. Absolutely.
There they are. They really are.
Especially, what is going on down there? I mean, the things that we're hearing are just like, they seem like something out of a movie where people are locked up and forced. Is that all true? I mean, the camps and stuff?
Look, I look at the generational social psychological conditioning post-World War II to present day through a modern Pavlovian. So I look at the generational corporate grooming through gaming, mobile phones, through the television set, which was a disaster for our integrity of our culture we had before that happened. And what's happening right now is, I think, you guys are faith, just hold the Holy Spirit, I'd say. And, main one about abortion is, it's a sad thing, but, and I don't usually talk about subjective, but most of my work for the people has been subjectively, learnt. And I did go through the horrific thing of having an abortion a long time ago when I was a boy, and it was a big mistake, and we both knew the mistake we'd done. And it reflected on, one of the main commandments, isn't it? And what does it say? Thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big one, isn't it? And
yep. Pretty basic.
Yep.
Yeah, and look at our armies, you know, now, you know, all over the world, every country's got an army ready to kill human beings with or somebody that doesn't agree with them. And I think it's just biblical, it's spiritual now, and we've got to really see there's a division between people, even your mothers and your fathers and family and community. There's been a choice, and people seem to be choosing either mankind's being or God's being, and you know, I'll take God, and you know, you can only go through God through Jesus' words, isn't that right?
Amen. That's right.
That's
Amen.
Absolutely right.
It's nice to hear your voice from down under. I mean, it's I didn't know it went down that far, you know. So
yeah, I agree with you, Shane. I just want to just say, man, we are standing with you here in this nation. We are for you. We recognize that this is a, like you said, a biblical event. That, you know, this is stuff that we read and studied back in the 80s and that was coming, that was going to come someday. And I'm always thinking, how is that going to work? How are they going to have this mark of the beast? How are they going to start rounding up people? How are they going to start controlling people? And now we're living in it, and it accelerated in 2 years. It was a slow drip for a long time until all the people were got into positions, until the elites put all the people in their positions, and then boom, in 2 years, they sped it up, and they sprung it on us, and it's pretty wicked what we're seeing happen all over the globe.
Absolutely. But there's hope.
Isn't it a fantastic time, too? Because you really, if you really look at Jesus as the only way, you know, what his words were very simple. And what did we do for the last 2,000 years? Everything opposite to what he really said. And even each other, you know, we've probably failed. And if you can see that, then aren't you blessed? Because, you know, we haven't left a good place for the kids at all. I've been fighting my greatest for the better environment and, you know, to try to stop this grooming of what I call modern Pavlovian grooming through gaming and the processes of conditioning. They are conditioning the kids to have abhorrent behaviours. And look, you know, a kid's an angel in a sense. They've got the greatest potential to solve all the potential the idiots before us and the us idiots who have left for them. So we can only try to support them as best as we can. And obviously the great indictment is we don't kill them, you know, in their womb. It's tragic that, you know, so many die that way. And I don't want to go into too much of that because I know that they're being used for other things too that are quite absolutely horrific.
Are you familiar with what happened here in California, Shane, where, you know, a couple of years ago that David Danlian, he went and did undercover recordings of people who, doctors and abortion doctors who did the surgeries, and they were talking about selling the body parts, and people were like, exploded. They're like, oh, that's not really what's happening, not really selling the body parts. And like, if you actually listen to the videos, Planned Parenthood has been doing abortions and selling human body parts for scientific research. And it's disgusting, and it's gross, it's the most wicked thing you can think of, and yet we still haven't stopped it. Like, it's clear. And then, of course, Kamala Harris, when she was part of the Department of Justice in California, instead of going and arresting Planned Parenthood for doing this, they arrested the guy who did the undercover journalism.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's all biblical, so hold your faith, listen to Jesus' simple words. Just love and forgive them as best as you can.
That's right.
They're possessed by Satan and man's drunkenness on their technologies. And I really see that we're blessed because Jesus must be really closely around the corner in regards to giving us sanctity and sensibility to this chaos and nutty, crazy stuff that's going on. Don't buy into it. Just think about what Jesus said. Love, forgiveness, and kindness, and generosity as best as you can.
Amen, bro. Oh, man, you preach awesome. It. I'll turn the pages, bro. Thank you, Shane, for calling.
Thanks for calling.
All my love, guys.
Okay.
Yeah, same. Back at you.
Wow.
That was great.
Nice to hear from down under. Yep. That was awesome.
Yeah, I have actually some friends that are down under, and they said that it's horrific, and you know, like they can't go to work, they can't drive more than 12 miles from their home. There was just all of these, you know, and it's just what happens is they're going back. His Pavlovian response: they're going back and forth between giving a little bit more freedom and then taking it back and giving you more. It's training. You're training. I mean, I used to teach, you know, the lifeguards, and we would use a whistle and we'd blow the whistle and say, "Go in the water, blow the whistle, come back in, blow the whistle, go in the water," and we would train them, equip them to how to navigate water, the waves. Well, that's what they're doing with us, is they're blowing this whistle, and they're like, you can now take your mask up. Don't lose it. No, no, you got to put it back on. And they're just seeing how far that we will let them control us.
Right.
And it's
and you
evil.
Can't say, hey, you're trying to make me do this. And they say, well, no, I pulled it back.
Yeah.
You know, and so they have this argument.
Well, even like what's going on right now with England and Ireland and these other countries that are dropping the mask mandates and the I mean, I'm super cheering it on. My wife's like thinking, you're pretty negative, Brandon. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not. I could easily see them just pull it right back up again. Like, something needs to happen where we actually bring judgment against the people that pulled away the rights in the first place.
Well, who's accountability. The lawyers in Germany?
Yeah, Nuremberg 2.0 that they're doing some fabulous work. If you look that up and research that, there are some legal minds, the greatest ones in our world, that are going after some of the criminals that are at the heart of this travesty.
Yeah, they got the goods. I know Dr. Artis was interviewed by that Nuremberg 2.0, and he was just saying that, you know, they have the proof that Fauci, he was pushing that drug that we always have a hard time saying,
Remdesivir,
and
just killing people.
And Fauci quoted two clinical trials. Well, he's part of those, and it was the worst one. They had to pull it off one of them, and the other one had created, you know, kidney failure, the most death. And it was like, why would you push the worst one out of the group of, you know, he was very aware, but nobody checked for like a year or two.
And not only was it the worst one, but America bought up all the remdesivir there was. And we also had the largest fatality rate due to COVID in the world. Wow. We had the highest statistics, and most of it was, you could point it right back to the required protocol and the incentive. They incentivized using those protocols, how many patients that were treated by that, the hospitals were paid. So
it's
there
like
was
Nazi 2.0.
Yeah. Hey, I want to say, unless you got something, I wanted to say something. I got an email from the Guardians of Youth, and they were talking about some of the bills that are coming up right now and calling your local people. We're going to put this on our website, but right now we need you to call your legislator and oppose these bills that are basically taking the rights away for you. They're basically adding to the schedule the vaccines in California. They want to add this new experimental vaccines to the normal schedule of vaccines for kids. And we need to step up and do some action items here. Call your legislator, oppose the bills that are coming. Call in an email Senator Weiner and Senator Pan, who are pushing these bills. Senator Weiner's numbers are here. They want to put them on our website. Please call them and share this information with as many people as possible. They're going to try to, I mean, they used to say back in the day, oh, they're coming after your children. No, they really are coming after our children.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to use experimental vaccines and make them mandatory in California for all of your kids. And if you don't fight back, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, the bills are on the table right now, and I know you're going to talk about them, but I just want to send a word out there to Democratic Scott Weiner, Senator of the 11th District, San Francisco, South San Francisco, and Daly City. You are not helping our people. You are not doing things that are healthy for our state, and what you are proposing is a crime against humanity.
Yes, and you will be held accountable for it. SB 866, we got to hold the people need to hold our representatives accountable to this wickedness and to this authoritarian structures that are trying to push on us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, now the SB, what he's proposing is that as of Thursday, the bill was on the table to be able for school-age children to get the vaccine without permission for 12 and over.
Wow.
And then the Senate Bill 871 would require without exemption California to inoculate all attending kindergarten through 12 starting in September.
That's crazy. It's like zero respect for the family unit altogether. And then an exemption, even a medical exemption, who would know better than a medical doctor? Although I question that these days. And they're saying get rid of that.
It's time to wake the bear, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to wake the bear. Mama and Papa bears need to wake up. They are attacking your children. You do need to stand up. We win if you fight. We lose if you stay silent.
Action
we are winning. People are waking up.
People are waking up.
Absolutely.
Let's keep fighting. We're here with you. Wake the Bear Radio, KSCO Radio. Join us next week.
Yes. This has been Wake the Bear Radio on KSCO, 1080 on your AM dial.
Surfing Northern California.